dads and two moms who thought parenthood was paint by number, a podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire.
Don't you wish it was that easy? It's Parenthood by Fire, another episode here. My name's Mike, the host of the show, joined by Jennifer, Elena, and Pedro. Don't you wish it was Parenthood by, or Parenthood by number? Paint by number?
I do.
Easy. Color a little orange here, a little red there, a little blue there. Voila.
You have a masterpiece.
But then it would all look the same.
That's true.
And we would have nothing to talk about.
And we'd end up with all these kids that... it's nice to have a kid that... little individual personalities. And it's funny. It's hard to believe that kids in general... and not to make this entirely about my kids, but every child takes a different personality on. My kids are half me and half my wife, right? And
more or
less. More or less, that's right. They're probably more her because they're not ugly. That's the first thing I need to say.
You have adorable children, Mike.
Yeah, they're not ugly, and they did not get my ugly gene, which is really good. Thank God.
I think Goose got whatever good part of gene of the good looks you had. She got them.
Thank you. That's.
I think she looks a little like you.
Extremely sweet of you.
But a good look. Good looking. Because you do not make a good girl.
No, I'd be a very, very ugly woman. I'd be a very ugly woman. You know how they make jokes about when you take two good-looking people and you put them together, they make an ugly kid?
Ugly babies.
Yeah. A child that's precious.
Yes.
Exactly.
Don't.
What, I strike a nerve there? Oh, he's so precious.
Precious is sweet.
No.
Not in the Denzel totally family.
No. Precious is... Yes.
I'm sharing a deep Denzel secret.
We've been going at this for a few weeks. We can share a secret.
A secret. So in my family, the word precious is what you use for an ugly baby. So anyone that uses that term for my children, I have quite an adverse reaction to it. But yeah, if we want to say something nice about a child who we don't think is very cute.
He's precious. Precious. Or she's precious.
See, that's still, I don't think of it that way. So if I never called your children precious.
And I've never called your child precious.
I never noticed before.
I promise.
I think precious is cute and adorable and sweet.
Hey, let's face it. Children, when they first come out into this world, they're not precious. I mean, they're precious looking.
They're all precious.
They're all precious until the skull forms into more
and
rounded.
Facial features start to
and they fell out a little bit.
Yeah. They stop looking like they got squished through a tube for a couple of hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not their fault.
You said earlier we were talking a little bit off air. Did you have something interesting happen with the kids?
I had something interesting happen. You know, with my two boys, there's always something. And they've just spent a ton of time in the backyard this whole summer, which has been great. And just the other day, I was walking into the family room, and I see Dewey coming through the screen door into the family room.
Was he wearing pants?
He was wearing pants.
Oh, awesome.
With the hose. And
the outdoor watering hose,
walking in through the screen door, and I go, Dewey, don't bring the hose in the house.
Was it running at the time?
It was dribbling at the time. It wasn't full on. Thank goodness there was a kink somewhere in the line. But immediately, without missing a beat, Red turns around and goes, Dewey, do it. I'm thirsty. And I
Red, just as a reminder, is your oldest.
Yes, he's 8 years old. And so I'm not sure if he was doing it to be an instigator or to be funny or because he indeed was thirsty. But I was just like, no, everyone outside. And so then I just closed the door and locked it.
Nice. And you just left him out there.
And I left them out there.
You put a bag of food out there, a bag of rice.
Yeah, then it didn't matter. So
Mo does that every once in a while. Like my youngest, he's 17, almost 18 months now. And he loves to do whatever his big brother's doing. So he'll get up on the couch and I want to jump off. And I'm like, oh,
wait, Otis wants to do what his big brother
is
doing?
Okay, so Otis, yeah. Sorry.
No,
I thought my little one. Yeah. Anyways, Otis likes to get up on the couch and jump. And Mo's like, I'm like, Otis, no, don't do it. No, Otis, no, no, stop. And Mo will be like, go do it. Do it, Otis. Do it. Do it. Come on. I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you tell your brother to do that? Do you want him to get hurt? No. What are you going to do? I don't know. What is the I don't know? I know I used to say it because I heard
it's
my stepfather.
It's the same thing as why. Why? Why what? Why
is on first?
it must be. I know there's some, and maybe Jennifer, you can enlighten us on this. There's not connections made up in the brain. Like, I may be a paramedic, but I don't know all the inner functions of the brain. And it's a,
you're not a cranial surgeon.
No, I'm not a neurosurgeon. I don't know all about neurology and all that stuff. But there's got to be the impulse control. I know it's very limited in children, and so I don't know why I did that. And I honestly believe him. I believe he has no clue why he just said that. It sounded like a good idea at the time. Just like, I'm sure he doesn't really know why he pushes his brother when they're playing, but he's just like, well, I'm supposed to push. Well, of course I'm supposed to push him at some point. So I just feel bad because I get mad and I'm like,
my kids, they do. So I've asked them that same question. Why do you do this? They're in this phase right now where they're doing this. They're going, ah! Or they'll make some kind of noise. Some kind of, huh? And I'm like,
imitating you.
And I'm like, what? Why are you doing that? I don't know. I don't get it. And what am I doing wrong? Do anybody, please tell me somebody else's kid makes a stupid noise.
Oh,
sorry. That's a bad word, Dad. It's a silly noise.
Don't worry.
I have a potty mouth. He has a potty mouth. Yeah. You already established that.
Hey,
stupid.
Mo is so into just making noises. He'll be just sitting there doing his homework.
But he's like 17 months. My kids are like six.
No, Mo is five.
That's right. I'm sorry. Otis. Otis is 17 months.
Yeah. And he'll do it too. We'll just sit in the back and back seat and he'll be just like,
beautiful. Makes me feel so much better.
And or Mo will be sitting there and he'll be watching TV and he'll be just like, oh. And I feel bad, and I know it's my penance for whatever I did as a child, because I can clearly hear my dad and my mom and my stepdad going, why are you making noises? What are you doing back there in the back seat that you're just making noises? And I'm going, I don't know. I don't know why I'm making noises, but I did. And I know that it happens, but I just wish it didn't.
I got a question. What people may not know about Pedro is he's actually very good with voices. Extremely good with voices. Do you ever use any fun voices with the kids?
I used to.
Which ones?
I had a Japanese guy.
Do it. Come on.
And he was like, it was when Mo was
put him
little,
on the spot. That's
and
what you
was
do.
Like, he's like, they're like, Oda, this is a brew brock right here. This is a brew brock. And then Mo goes, no, blue. That's what I said. That's a brew brock. It's a good brew brock, and the red brock and the brew brock go together. And he said, no, blue. Blue. And he's just exaggerating his mouth, and he's just blue. This is what I said. A brew brock goes right here, and we make a tower out of the brew brock and the red brock. And he's like, and he just gave up at some point, and he walked away. And I was like, but yeah, no, I do have lots of voices. And I read, he loves story time when I read him story time. Like, I read Harry Potter to him, and I do different voices. I do Hagrid, and I make different.
Let me hear your Hagrid.
Yeah, let me hear Hagrid.
Oh, I can't. I have to read it because
I listen to the books on tape, so in my head, yeah, I have a Hagrid voice. Yeah.
No, don't compare me to that guy. That guy's a master.
Well, do a voice. I don't expect you to be Jim Dale on me here, but
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Do a voice from Harry Potter. Way to put him on the spot, man. He had no idea we were going to do this.
No,
yes.
No, I am.
Harry sounds a little bit like this, and there's Seamus. He sounds a little more Scottish, and he talks like this a little bit. And there's Professor McGonagall, who's a little bit higher pitched and still has that Scottish accent. And so I kind of bounce back and forth between those. And some have higher British, some have a higher accents. And
I'll tell you, if podcasting doesn't work out for you, you could probably fill in for Jim Dale there in a few of those. I really do think so.
It would be amazing if Jim Dale actually did all those. I know what he did. He did them individually. He didn't bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me when you see those impressionists, like who's really good at it is...
And Jim Dale, by the way, for folks, is the guy who read the Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
For the book on tape.
Amazing order reader. But he was British. But when you see people like Jay Moore, and he bounces back and forth between like De Niro and, you know, all the other voices that he does, and he can have a conversation with himself. That's amazing to me. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, if you want to hear someone have a conversation with themselves, you just got to go to San Francisco and walk down, you know,
San Francisco.
Any street. You'll witness it. You know, with every show, we bring a topic to the table, and we kind of rotate it around here amongst the hosts of the show. And it's Lainey's night. She drew the short straw tonight. And you came with the topic for the show, right?
Yeah, I did.
What is it?
I'd like to talk about discipline tonight.
Nice. For your kids or for your husband?
Kids.
I just like to jab at your husband every once in a while. Apparently. It just feels so natural. I'll get to yours. I haven't even opened up the can on yours yet.
And he'll get to my husband.
But
too.
We should mention Jennifer across from me here. Her husband is the webmaster of ParenthoodByFire.com, mm-hmm. And we co-share. He probably holds 80% of the webmastering duties. I hold about 20, and so we constantly go back and forth. And so got a couple good ones there. We'll take a couple stabs at him. But discipline. So disciplining your children.
Yeah, actually, the reason it came up and the reason I wanted to talk about it is that Dan and I are finishing up our home study. We are ready to start the wait for our
home study. If you don't mind me interrupting you for a second, explain to folks who may or may not be familiar with the why are you getting a home study, first of all?
We are planning to adopt a second child.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so you have to go through the home study process.
Yep. We have to go through a whole background check. I've been fingerprinted more times than I can ever imagine.
I hate that they make you get fingerprinted. You've already adopted Rocky.
Yeah.
Right?
Has your fingerprint changed since adopting Rocky?
No, but because there's a lot of different reasons, but apparently, so we had to get background checked through the Department of Justice, through the FBI, through the sheriffs, and there's a child welfare database, but none of them share with each other.
No.
So they can't even transfer.
Each of us had to do 4 sets of fingerprints.
And they're not cheap.
No.
No,
not
at all.
It was expensive. Yeah. It was expensive. But, I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah, that government, you suck. Share the information.
Yeah, I don't understand why there can't be a repository or something.
There is. There is. They just don't do it because they like to keep all their information to themselves.
So, I mean, there's a lot of paperwork that you have to go through. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is in all of the pounds of paperwork that we had to fill out, there was a new form from our adoption agency that asked about discipline, and it asked specifically about how we plan to discipline this child.
You tell him beat the hell out of him or her?
No. Actually, I just found it very interesting that I don't think I thought about how I was going to discipline our child until he was here and that we had to talk about it.
You didn't have to do that with Rocky?
Mm-mm. Didn't have to decide beforehand.
How do you discipline Rocky right now?
We have a variety of steps. I mean, first it's redirection, and then it's like kind of like a parroting thing. Like if he's doing something incorrectly, we'll try to teach him how to say it correctly. If he's not listening, then he gets a warning, and then he'll get a timeout. If it's worse than a timeout, then he has to go to his room until he's ready to be with the public again. So, I mean, we have several steps that we do for it, but that developed because of his personality. And I just think it's really hard to try to make that decision before a child has been conceived.
You got it.
Yeah.
I love what you just said. Yeah. The way I discipline my daughter and the way I discipline my son couldn't be further. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My daughter does not respond to yelling or anything like that. It's a totally different process. My son has done a few things that could have gotten him severely injured or killed. And I have, and I never thought I'd do it. And I don't ever make a habit of it. I told myself, you know, predating when I was a parent, I'm never going to lay a hand on my child. I'm never going to spank him. I'm never going to raise a hand to them, anything like that. And I have swatted my son. He did something that scared me so rigidly. And it put me into such a cold sweat panic that I gave him a swat. And it wasn't like I didn't like wail away at him, but I gave him a swat in the tush. And I was like, no, I mean, just literally just was enraged. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Every child has to be parented differently.
And so, I mean, that's part of the reason I wanted to bring it to you guys, because it's, I think that parenting a child that's here, you know, that is alive on this earth is different than trying to conceive it in your mind. And I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about both. If you had to make the decision before your children were born, could you have decided how you were going to discipline? And then how do you actually do it? Like, how do you actually discipline your children here and now? And is it different? Because you guys all have 2 kids. I have 1. So, of course, it's the same for him.
Jennifer is staring up right now and digging deep into the archive in her head right now. I can see that it's just ready to burst. How about you?
I'm just thinking because I think that we parent our children the way that we thought we would before they came. Mm-hmm. And that is that
but
we choose, and when you said you need to know the child, I think that's really important. We choose to not spank in terms of parenting and correction.
Have you ever?
No, I have not. Now,
congratulations.
The interesting part of that, though, is there have been times that I have wanted to, and much like you said, Mike, you know, with Dewey, my younger one, he's the one that had brought those feelings out in me and made me want to spank him more so than Red has. But specifically for Dewey, he has sensory processing disorder, and so part of that is he's constantly seeking input, and he's constantly bumping into things and big bear hugs. And so if I were to actually spank him to have it be a correction, I would have to hit him so hard it would hurt him. It would be abuse. It wouldn't be the swat on the bottom. Swat on the bottom, he would invite that because that feels good to him. And so that wouldn't even be a choice for us. That couldn't be on the list. And I wouldn't have known that until he was here. So if spanking was on the list, it would not have worked. So that's really, really difficult that you have to think about that ahead of time. And I guess the benefit is that you already have Rocky, and so you already have a system, and you kind of know where you fall.
Yep.
And what works for you. And that's, and you can adjust it based on that.
We had the second question was that on that same form was that if spanking was ever something you would consider, you had to agree never to spank in the child's lifetime. And
wow.
Yeah.
I try and shy away from never and always kind of words in parenting.
Which is what I responded.
Like, that's rough.
Because I don't think you can make, although that is not in our wheelhouse for discipline right now, I don't think that it should never be a possibility. Like, because I can't tell you 10 years from now if that's going to be appropriate. I can tell you that it's something we choose not to do. Mm-hmm. And it's something, but we had to, like, in order, because I had a problem with the always in that sentence, I had to provide a list of resources that I had read, what we, the 5 steps we would do before we ever got to that point, that kind of thing. It was interesting.
It's just amazing the social norms, how much they've changed over the years. I'm as you're telling me the term, I will never spank my child. I'm thinking back to my childhood, and I'm thinking back to, I mean, my parents would spank me, and they'd spank me good.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my dad spanking me with a belt. God, by any standard today, that's like child abuse, right? Yeah. But I'd get spanked with a belt. My mom would use a wooden spoon, like from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, I was a little SOB. I was a bad child. And it's one of these things. My mom, unfortunately, is no longer with us. And that's in my bio. I lost her when I was in my early 20s. But I swear now, as a parent, if I could go back and just take 5 minutes and be like, listen, I'm sorry for being an SOB. I remember one time she swatted me with a kitchen spoon, and the spoon broke. And I laughed. I'm like, ha, 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 you broke your spoon. And yeah, that was smart, right? Mm-mm. Or when she called, my mom once called me an SOB. And I'm like, well, that makes you a B. Because I'm a son of a B.
Yeah.
Sure, dumb. There's no response there. Yeah. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Not the brightest tool in the box. What about you, dude? For the record, I choose not to spank as well. I did swat my son's butt once in 4.5 years. So I reserve that as a tool in my arsenal. The hey, you scared the piss out of me, and I'm giving you a swat. What about you, Pedro?
So my growing up was, I guess, similar to yours, and that there wasn't a ton of, I didn't get beat all the time. I didn't get beatings, but I did realize at an early age that I didn't like it. And that I didn't want to do this to my... I remember thinking vividly to myself that if I ever become a parent, I'm not going to hit my kids. And I, so far, I have yet to actually smack Mo or Otis on their behinds.
So I'm the only one that's given the kid a swat?
No, well, and I say I've never hit them on the behind, but there's times and they're just not paying attention. So like a tap on the head or a...
you grab their arm and kind of...
Yeah, or Mo will, like, he'll... Because he likes to, he's very aggressive sometimes, and he likes to hit or... And I don't like him hitting me, and I don't like him hitting anybody else, but or he'll grab, and I'll have to grab his hand, and I'll, like, give him a squeeze. Like, no, we don't do that. And I know that I'm bigger than him and I'm stronger than him. I don't want to hurt him, and I don't want to be afraid of me, because I was very afraid of my stepfather. And so I don't ever want my kids to be afraid of me, and I don't ever want them to fear like I'm going to hit them. And don't get me wrong, there's been times where Mo or Otis, for that matter, have done things, and I'm just like, oh, why are you doing that? I just asked you not to do that. Could we not make a mess here now? Or whatever. Or they're doing something that really scared me, like running out in some place. And I felt the urges to do something physical. And I think that's really a really animalistic feeling. I mean, because if you ever look at, like, when you have a mother wolf or dog or whatever, and you look at the baby, the pup, and the pup does something, what does the mom do? The mom gives them little snips or gives them a little bite, or, you know, grabs them on the muzzle. So and there's a way to express yourself. But luckily we have words and language, and we can express ourselves through other means. But, I just don't feel the need to hit them, either of them. And but I think that would be very, very difficult. I don't. Mm-hmm. All I knew when I started becoming a parent, or when I decided that I was going to become a parent, I knew that I didn't want to hit my kids. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I knew. How I discipline, I make it up as I go along. Honest, I wish I was as exacting as you were.
You mentioned a process.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah. You got me.
I'm like,
we attended the seminar. Like, it was. I don't know if we should plug it, but it's Jim Stenson. He has a website that's out there, and we attended seminar about parenting and discipline and things like that. It was actually part of our church, and he was fantastic. Like, in all of the things you think about with parenting, and one of the things that we learned and we've tried to be really good about is not disciplining in public. So taking if Rocky misbehaves, that if we're in a group and it's not just like our immediate nuclear family, that we'll take him into the next room to talk about why whatever action that caused us to go into that other room was wrong. And when we come back, it's an apology to the group for disrupting. So
I'm curious how things will adapt when you have a second.
I don't know.
That'll be interesting, because your style may have to adapt.
Yeah.
To allow for the second one.
Yeah. And I don't know. I hope that we'll keep pretty consistent. But, I mean, there's just no way to know for sure, like, how that's going to be for me. I know. How did it change with number two for all of you guys?
Well, there was a lot more disciplining going on. I mean, when that second one comes along, and you will, if you don't experience this, I will be surprised if you don't.
Yeah.
When the second one comes along, the first one gets a little funky. There's that adjustment phase. And some last longer. Mine is still going on 4.5 years later, but different. I mean, it's grown into something different, but they still compete for attention. That'll be interesting.
It will be very interesting.
So you've gone through, if you don't mind me asking here, you're going through the home study part. And then how long before you're back out there, on the open adoption?
Our wait began actually earlier this month. So we put how it works these days. I don't know if you want to do this, but it's like go through the details. But you basically put a book together for an expectant mother to read, and they read it and see if they want to meet you. And then it's a process that you meet, and if the expectant family thinks that you're a good match, then you move forward. If not, then they move on to somebody else.
Does that expectant family have access to some of the answers to the questions that you have to ask? So if they do, they know how you're going to discipline that child, is that like something they can take into account?
No. They see the book, and then they can ask us any of those questions.
Okay.
But no, they're not given the packet of our home study as a resource. So it's definitely a God thing, because when you go through the adoption process, I remember lots of disappointments along the way to Rocky, and a lot of sadness, because really he had been growing in our hearts for 8 years before he came into our life. But he was the expectation of that. But you just, it's always a perfect match. You know, there's always the right child that's designed for your family.
So clearly we have enough material here about discipline to take this into even another episode here. I mean, we got a little bit off track. So what we'll do here is we're going to put a stop on this episode in the spirit of the length of the episode, but we'll bring the material over. We'll do a part two on discipline next week. In the meantime, did you have a poll question you wanted to leave people thinking with?
Yes, I did. I want to ask our listeners if they had to decide how to discipline their child before they were conceived, could they? And the answers would be just simply yes and no.
Yes and no. So yes, could you, or no, could you not? And, of course, you know, as we wrap the show here, we want to remind you, you can find us anytime online, www.parenthoodbyfire.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/parenthoodbyfire. And I've got to promote, I keep leaving it out on these episodes here, our Twitter webmaster. I'm pumping you up, buddy.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
What is, what's the, I should know it. What's the tweet? The Twitter
is
thing
you Parent
need?
Fire. You can find us on Twitter at Parent Fire. And we're all on there. So
that's true. We are all on there. So have a great week, folks. We'll see you next week with the continuation of Discipline.